Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Jean-Suc Arif, and my co-host will be getting right into our studies shortly, which is the bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. If you're not familiar with him, if you're not, you should be, because certainly by all indication, We all need some devotion, truth be told. But before we get started, I'd like to make contemporary comments on ongoing subject matters. And one thing that's I know that's attracting a lot of people's attention, the fourth day of the George Floyd murder trial by rogue police officers. And first on the stand today was his girlfriend of 3 years. And she gave an honest report as to their drug addiction, their disease, their sickness. It first started out with pain and escalated onto something else. And said how she met him. And when she was going through some traumatic experience, and he was the security guard on duty. And Brother Floyd asked her, would you like to pray? I think that was very considerate of him. But even that being said, he was a human being with his shortcomings, just like all of us, working on himself, just like all of us. And falling down and trying to get up just like all of us. And some of us don't try to get up. But be that as it may, he didn't have the opportunity for his redemption song. Because these rogue police officers in uniform took his life. I pray perhaps in his final moments that he made a connection with the great I Am. In his final moments, but they didn't lie him his redemption song. And next in line with the paramedics on the scene, with these two paramedics could share that from the clinical and lay term, George Floyd was dead when they got there. And they basically had to tell the police, get out the way. You know, we got to try to load this man up into our rig and try to do something for him. Because they realized that the police officers wasn't doing very much, but they were like the dog in the manger. You know, that parable about the dog in the manger. They were simply laying in the way. They weren't eating the hay. And these rogue police officers are basically doing the same thing in regards to Brother Floyd. But the lay and clinical term, George Floyd, was dead when they arrived on the scene. And the supervising sergeant on duty said, no, you don't put the hole your feet on, your knee on folks' neck. No, not no 9 minutes and 29 seconds. No, that's too excessive. Yeah, you're supposed to assess the situation. And when the person has stopped resisting, you sort of back off that, unlike Derek Chauvin did. He escalated. You know what? I'm going to be honest about that. Let me be frank about that. Mr. Chauvin was sending a signal, what he was doing, like most universal white race supremacists do know what they're doing. And the signal he was relaying to our communities, I'm in charge. I got this big nigga down, and I do it to the rest of you niggas. Don't nail one of you niggas get out of pocket with me. In spite of the fact that people were saying, hey, man, come on, man, get off the man's neck, man, let him get in the car. Oh, hell to the no. I got this big nigga in charge. I'm in control, and I'm going to control, and I'm going to control till I say I'm sick. Even in spite of y'all saying, I don't care nothing about what y'all saying. The hell with all y'all. That little girl over there with a little T-shirt on. I don't care about you little 9-year-old girl. I don't care about your 17-year-old cousin. I don't care nothing about the paramedic firefighter off duty. I don't care nothing about the MEE fighter. You know, I don't care about nothing about none of y'all. And I'm going to show it by virtue of me doubling down on my efforts to so-called control a man that was, for all intents and purposes, dead. Yeah. Derek Chauvin knew what he was doing. like most universal white great supremacists, always know what they're doing. They got to always be in control and send a clear message to us. We got you. We'll mistreat you. And we'll treat you any damn way we want it. It ain't a damn thing you can do about it but protest, march, cuss, and fuck, and stand on the curb. That's the signal. But what we can always rely upon, in spite of it all, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Truth be told. So before we get started, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City, Cartrell. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you and your family. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Shalom, Yom Sufari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
And your family also. Thank you, Cartrell. Appreciate you, brother.
No doubt. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
So I'm going to jump to the EMT's account.
Mm-hmm.
Because they showed video of him in the ambulance.
Exactly.
And he ain't looked like he was trying to help our brother, George Floyd. He was just on display. He had his hands on his neck. He talking about he looking for a pulse. But I didn't see them administer no IV, no respiratory equipment, no heart that thing that they jumpstart your heart.
Right.
You saw the pictures they were showing, right? Or the EMT of the camera. Inside
right.
the ambulance, what they was doing with George Floyd. They took
right.
his shirt off. It's like they got him on display. He got his hands on his neck. They're not trying to revive that brother.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you know? They didn't take him straight to the hospital, did they? Which was 3 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
They took a left and took him to a side street, called the fire department, and all this time, he ain't got no pulse.
Mm-hmm.
So from the time that the EMT workers showed up on the scene, when this police officer had his knee in our brother George Floyd's neck, from
mm-hmm.
that time, and prior to that time, he didn't have no pulse.
Right.
When they put him in the ambulance, he still didn't have a pulse.
Right.
And as a first responder, as a shop steward that had to respond on the job site to when
right.
it was an emergency, you look for
mm-hmm.
a pulse, you see if they're breathing. If there's no pulse and there's no breathing, what are you supposed to do immediately? You're supposed to administer CPR.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to pump on that chest, and you're supposed to, like, give them a breath of oxygen if you can. Not
right.
direct contact with your mouth to mouth. If you have a plastic bag or something, you put a hole in it, you put that over his face, and you breathe your breath into him, and you start doing compressions. The compressions
right.
are most important, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the blood and the oxygen that's in the blood continues to flow. And
mm-hmm.
then there's something that's called, what first responders know, is the recovery position. The recovery position is not on his stomach. It's not on his back. You have to lay somebody that's in trouble on their left side.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they tell us. First responders, they're not breathing. They're not, there's no pulse. You tilt them on their left side.
Mm-hmm.
That's the recovery position. For
right.
anybody that's a first responder, and you just see them tilt him on his left side.
Mm-hmm.
They continue to have their weight on his back and a knee in his neck, and they didn't put him in the recovery position. So
no.
had he been in the recovery position, do you think he could have breathed?
Perhaps.
On his left side?
Perhaps.
Oh, yeah. He would have been able to breathe if he was on his left side.
Right.
They had just tilted him up on his left side, while he still had control, he would have been able to breathe. Trust me.
Looked like to me, They, like I said, universal white race pretty always know what they're doing, brother. Okay.
Come on, man. That guy in the ambulance said he was dead, basically.
Yeah, he said I knew it was dead.
His whole testimony.
He said I knew it was dead when I pulled up.
So why didn't they take him directly to the hospital? Why did they take him on a detour and wait for the fire department to come and see what the situation was instead of taking him directly to the hospital?
Hey,
with doctors should have handled him, man.
Yeah,
they said the hospital was 3 minutes away.
They were trying to cover up for the brother, cover up for Dave. But it got out of hand. They were trying to clean. Man, look here. All these people work together, okay? And they cover up for one another. But it got too far out of control, too fast, too furious, too soon. Too many people know. So they couldn't cover it up. And you saw them. You saw all of them throwing them under the bus. Because they tried to. They said, well, man, you went too far with this. Okay? You didn't leave them nothing to cover up for you. That's why we pulled off to the side. See what we can do for you, man. We can't lose our career over you. Sure. Now, you went too far. It's okay with you to abuse them, mistreat them, and dominate them, sometimes kill them, but you can't get caught. Now, if you get caught, you're on your own. Okay? We ain't going down with you. You know this. You know how it go. That's why we pulled off to see what we can do for you, man. But, hey, we couldn't do nothing for you. Okay? You know how it go, Contrail. Come on now. That's how gangs do. They come up for one another.
That ambulance EMT worker who testified today,
mm-hmm.
would you have wanted him handling you if you was in that situation?
I don't want man one of them handling me.
Hell no.
Okay.
Take me straight to the hospital and put me in a doctor's hand. Don't wait for the fire department, the hospital 3 minutes away. Take me directly to emergency. And they didn't
do that. I don't trust them when I get there. Okay? All right, Contrail. I don't trust her, but they got many more eyes on everybody and some of our folks up in there, okay? But even that being said, Contrail, I don't trust them when I get there, okay? All right. Contrail, fellow students, they get started in our studies. Contrail's done with his commentary. I certainly am. And may the Most High bless you. Thank you, Contrail, by the study of his word and, most importantly, the application. It should be a lamp unto our feet, these words, okay? Let me see. In those days, there were no king. Hold on.
Gotta let us know what chapter you're in. What chapter
Okay, Contrail. Chapter 19. 19 of Judges, you called it. But we call it
Shofim.
Shofim, okay?
Team.
Some of you that
basketball
are new to
team.
Yeah. Some of you that are new to it call it Judges, but the people that are familiar with it, Shofims, okay? Chapter 19. Okay. Y'all ready? In those days when there was no king in Israel, a Levite residing at the other end of the hill country of Ephraim, took himself a concubine from Bethlehem and Yehuda.
So we're talking about the same brother that we were talking about yesterday.
You talking about this guy? The same trick?
Same dude.
I didn't mean it like that, cuz. The same dude? Oh,
Creflo
man.
Dollar.
This guy don't stop doing. Once his concubine deserted him, leaving him for her father in Bethlehem and Yehuda, she stayed there a full 4 months. She deserted it. Then her husband set out with an attendant and a pair of donkeys and went after her to woo her back, to win her back. She admitted him into her father's house, because you just can't walk with my dad's house. I got to let you in here. And when the girl's father saw him, he received him warmly. His father-in-law, the girl's father, pressed him, and he stayed with him 3 days. They ate, drank, and lodged there. Early in the morning, the fourth day, he started to leave, but the girl's father said to his son-in-law, eat something to give you some strength, then you can leave. So the two of them sat down, and they feasted together. Then the girl's father said to the man, why won't you stay overnight and enjoy yourself? The man started to leave, but the father-in-law kept urging him until he turned back and spent the night there. In the morning, on the fifth day, he was about to leave when the girl's father said, come have a bite. Come on, get something to eat, man. Eat some breakfast. The two of them ate, dwelling until past noon. Then the man and his concubine and his attendant started to leave. His father-in-law, the girl's father, said, look, the day is waning toward evening. Do not stop for the night. See, the day is declining. Spend the night here and enjoy yourself. You can start early in the morning tomorrow on your journey and head for home. But the man refused to stay for the night. He set out and traveled as far as the vicinity of Jebus, that is, Jerusalem. He had with him a pair of laden, they were loaded, and his concubine was with him. Since they were close to Jebus, the day was very far spent. Now, I'm going to show you how we ain't changed. I'm going to show you how crooked we can be sometimes. The attendant said to his master, let us turn aside to this town of the Jebusites, and spend the night in it. But his master said to him, we will not turn aside to a town of aliens. We don't know nothing about them people who are not of Israel, but we'll continue to gather by. Come, he said to his attendant, let us approach one of those places where our folks sit and spend the night either in Galbah or Ramah. So they traveled on. He thought he would get good hospitality. Sometimes we don't give good hospitality, as you will see. So they traveled on. And the sun set when they neared Galbah of Benjamin, the Benjamites. They turned off there and went to spend the night at Galbah. He went and sat down in the town square. Of course, normally when you come, you sat down in the town square. Folk know you knew. And then, you know, they probably give you a place to lay your head. But nobody took them indoors. That was odd. He knew to spend the night. But in the evening, old man came along from his property outside the town. This man hailed from the hill country of Ephraim and resided at Gibeah, where the townspeople were Benjamites. And then he happened to see the wayfarer in the town square. And where, the old man inquired, are you going to? And where did you come from? He replied, we are from Bethlehem in Yehuda to the other end of the hill country of Ephraim. That is where I live. I made a journey to Bethlehem of Yehuda. And now I'm on the way to the house of Yah. And nobody has taken me indoors. Ain't nobody showed me no house hospitality. We have both bruised straw and feet. We don't need none. Just somewhere to lay our head. We got what we need for our donkeys and bread and wine for me and my handmaid, me and my woman. And for the attendant with your servants, we lack nothing. We just need a place to lay our heads. Rest easy, said the old man. Let me take care of all your needs. Do not on any account spend the night. On no account. You spend the night up in here, in this square. Okay? He took him into his house. He mixed fodder for the donkeys. Then he bathed their feet and ate and drank. While they were enjoying themselves, the men of the town, the Benjamites, of the praised lot, just like some of us are today, gathered about the house and were pounding on the door, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. They called to the aged owner of the house, bring out the man who has come to your house so we can get intimate with, so we get to know him. The owner of the house went out and said to them, please, hold on. Please, my friends, do not commit such a wrong. You know that ain't right. You know what you asking for ain't right, man. And since this man is in my house, I've extended my hospitality to him. Do not perpetrate this outrage. Look here. Here's my virgin daughter and his woman. Let me bring them out to you, let you do what you're going to do. Have pleasure on them. Do what you like to them. Because they're going to be Adam and Eve, not Steve and Steve. But don't do that outrageous thing to this man that you're suggesting. But the men would not listen to him. So the man seized his concubine and pushed her out of the house. What kind of man is that, Katria?
He was bugging out, like the men in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, I mean, but hold on. But this Levitical priest did this to this woman. He seized his own woman and pushed her out to them. They raped her.
He wasn't no priest. He was a Levite, but he wasn't no priest.
Okay. Well, this Levite, Cartrill.
Yes.
He takes a hold of his own woman, puts out to him. What kind of man is that?
But you got to remember, she played the harlot on him.
Mm-hmm.
She played the harlot on him. That's why he went after her, and he took her back.
Uh-huh. They raped
her. She wasn't no virgin. She wasn't no innocent woman.
Uh-huh.
And I ain't giving credit to what he did to her.
Right.
She wasn't really an innocent woman. Mm-hmm. And they basically did what Lot did. Don't violate this man. Take these women.
Right.
Because that's going to be even worse if you take this man and you violate him.
Well, no matter if she was a woman of ill repute, laws to handle that matter, and it wasn't a handle the matter, as we would see down the road now. There's a way to handle things. If that woman was an ill repute, you just don't push out to the crowd so you can do what they want to do to a Cartrell. Okay, there's ways to handle matters.
And you talk about Benjamites. They're supposed to know better. You ain't supposed to be acting like Sodomites.
That's what I'm saying. They knew better to ask for that man behind and then rape that woman. They abused all night long. They raped until they killed her. They abused her. No, I can't go for that. We got laws. We got to go by laws. Not no mob mentality. They raped her. And that wasn't the reason why they were raping her. They were raping her because they were depraved and degenerate lot, Cartrell. They raped her and abused her all night. All night long until morning. They let her go when dawn broke. All night long.
And they jumped her off.
Yeah. That ain't no justice. Toward morning, the woman came back, and it was growing light. She collapsed at the entrance of the man's house where her husband was. When the husband arose in the morning, he opened the door of the house and went out to continue his journey. And there was a woman, his concubine, laying at the entrance of the house with her hands on the threshold. "Get up," he said to her. "Let us go." But there was yeah, he was cold, Cartrell.
Cold-blooded,
Cartrell.
He didn't help her get up. He sounded like, "Get up, we about to go."
Like a dog. Now, that's a way to do anything, Cartrell. Common courtesy, man. And legal way to do things. If you didn't want it, shouldn't have took, you know what, Cartrell, I'm not going to say nothing because I'm going to say a bad word, man. Because if you didn't want it, should have went to a father's house and go get it first place, man. Two wrong don't make no right. They're treated like a dog like that, man. Come on now. I can't go for that, man. Get up. Like she's some sort of dog. After you done pushed her out to the menfolk to rape her all night long. Oh, hell no.
Well, you should have went out there and fought for her and fought for himself.
That's what I'm saying. His honor. Her honor. Hell no, Cartrell. Can't go for that, man.
He called himself a Levite priest.
Yeah. High-powered coward, if you ask me. I'm sorry, Cartrell. I don't like this kind of mess, man. I'm for justice. Okay?
We're looking in the mirror right now. We're looking in the mirror.
Yep. But I'm for justice, Cartrell. I'm for the right way and the wrong way of doing anything. And then and she didn't respond. So the man placed her on the donkey and set out for home. When he came home, he picked up a knife and took hold of his cousin, because she was dead, obviously, and cut up limb. I mean, he was cold in response. He cut up limb by limb into 12 parts. He sent them throughout the territory of Israel. And everyone who saw it cried out, they said, man, what the hell? Never has such a thing happened. Somebody sent us part of the dead of a dead body. What's going on?
Sometimes you got to shock our people to wake them up.
They never, man. Who the hell sent somebody on the tribe of Yehuda? Who sent somebody led to the tribe of Gad? Who the hell sent somebody
foot
right
man.
On God's tribe?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that ain't never done. They have never seen that before. Never has such a thing happened. I've been since the day of Israel came out of the land of Mizraim to this day. Put your mind to this. Take counsel and decide. Obviously, those body parts, he sent detail as to what happened and why he did what he did. Cartrell, my dear brother and friend, what is your commentary?
Well, we see that the nation of Israel is spiraling out of control.
What you said, bro?
They keep saying they don't have no king, but
so they just try to do it. And so they give them right to do that. Okay, all right. They need a king to keep them in control. So they can't exercise no self-control. Okay, okay. All right, Cartrell.
The fact that they allow the people they were around to influence them,
mm-hmm.
it spiraled them into evil to where they couldn't even see what their wickedness was. Now you homos, you want to sleep with the man, you want to sleep with the
yeah.
Levite,
yeah.
like the sodomite.
Yeah, they shot up.
And we got the same thing going on today. I
mm-hmm.
mean, see brothers on commercial kissing each other. It's like, nah, come on, man. So much knowledge and information and understanding out there. You got brothers on commercial kissing each other.
I'm not used to that. I'm used to black and white TV, okay?
Black and white TV.
I'm not used to what I'm seeing, and I'm not comfortable with what I'm seeing. It may be normal to those that are used to it, they're perverted by it or whatnot, but I'm not going to never get used to that, okay?
They're accepting it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, the most I told our ancient fathers.
Right.
If you don't expel these people, that they will be a thorn in your side.
Then you're going to start doing what they do. And just like our folks today, Cartrell, these people, and the most I said, become like your oppressor, choose none of their ways, because they know you were going to be oppressed. But he said, don't choose none of their ways. But we chose all their ways and then some. As a matter of fact, they lead their parades, okay?
So we know that even in ancient times, there were Israelites who knew what they were supposed to do.
Exactly.
So we about to go into a civil war because that kind of evil could not be tolerated in the nation. So that had to be addressed.
Right.
And our ancient fathers addressed it.
Quick,
but
fast,
it led to civil war. It led to mm-hmm. civil war.
So
almost the extinction of one of the tribes. The tribe of Benjamin was almost wiped the freak out.
And I'm going to tell you something about, my notation of that, about these Benjamites. Even though what they did and were doing was depraved about their homosexual tendencies and actions, wasn't nothing to talk about these guys. These guys wasn't them girly-girly guys. These guys were them tough guys.
Like Mike Tyson. Yeah, I knocked you out in the fifth round. You come to that scene, I'm going to knock you out.
Sure.
That's fine. Because I come from Brooklyn, New York, and I got pigeons. And I knock you out with the uppercut.
You need to shut up, man. Look at her, Godrell. I'm going to tell you. Godrell, I'm going to tell you.
I got a tattoo on my face.
I'm going to tell you. I told you about my incarceration, my hotel stay in the Four Stars with Bars. It was two and a half years, I believe. And one guy in particular, he was a tough guy. And he surprised me. You know, I asked him, he said, what's up? He said, what's up, man? I said, what's up, man? You know, tough guys, you know. And matter of fact, he was training the prison boxing team. And I had, you know, respect for him. Tough guy. Uno, man to man. I'm saying he's a tough guy, like Yum Soup. And you know, he was built like Yum Soup was built. He exercised like Yum Soup. And one day, it had become wintertime. And so we would have to go over to the gym. We couldn't exercise outside anymore. So we had to go to the gym to exercise inside the gym. And this one little girly boy had just got, I didn't even know, the little girly boy had came to prison. As a matter of fact, the little girly boy looked like a little girl. But I still knew it was a boy, you know, because they wouldn't let girls and me in prison. And I was coming into the gym, and the guard had said something to the girly boy. And the guy that I was cool with, you know, I'm thinking he's a tough guy like me. You never would have suspected that he was perverted. And the guard told the girly boy something. He said, don't be talking to my wife like that. And I did a double take. I looked at him and looked at the girly boy. I looked at the guard. I kept walking. And from then on, I never speak to dude no more. See, it goes to show you, everybody that gets involved in those type of activities ain't the girly boys, you know, in some regards. Because I would have never suspected that guy messed with, you know, the girly boys. But obviously he did. And see, Benjamin Heights was sort of like him, tough guy. You never would have, you know what I mean? Mm-mm. So, you know. Some of those brothers in those perverted lifestyles would not give you any indication, none whatsoever, as to their leaning. And like I said, I never suspected. I just thought, you know, he's a tough guy. He's lifting weights, and he was training the boxing team. You know, built just like Yum Soup was built. You know, but like I said, that night in particular, I was going to the gym to work out. And I think he opened the door. And the guard told the little girly boy, hey, sweet, go sweep that floor. And he took the dude that was cool with me, said, don't be talking to my wife like that. I looked at dude. I looked at the girly boy. I looked at the guard. I said, damn. I walked on back and worked that and got the hell out of it. He speak. I give a slight indication that I acknowledge he has spoke. But it wasn't the same no more. You feel what I'm saying, bro? It wasn't the same no more. And one guy told, I said, man, why y'all? He said, well, you got 10 years. I got 35 years. I said, hey, man, I don't care if I got 110 years. It ain't going down. You know, I just had to do like Michael Jackson. Just beat it, you know. For all intents and purposes, if you catch my drift. But I say, ain't no way I'm messing with them boys. So, you know, but like I say, you'd be surprised, Contrell. You'd be surprised. And you'd be stunned. Some of the people and those, I call them, what do I call them back in the day? That was in the 90s. No, it was in the 80s. Was it 80? Yeah, it was in the 80s. And I call them situational homosexuals. If the situation dictates, they will participate. And then when they got back in town, you know, the girlfriends never knew or the wives never knew. So I call them situational homosexuals. And so I think, so just like the Benjamites, they become situational homosexuals, so to speak. But I'm not surprised that our brothers, I saw them, like I said, in the 80s, late 80s. And like I said, some of these brothers were shocked. Your mouth, your man, for real? So I'm not surprised about the Benjamin, because our brothers are the same, very same way in this modern day time. Okay? Some of our brothers. Go ahead, Cartrell.
Well, if you know the history of Hollywood now, mm-hmm. all these dudes that they were talking about leading men, most of
right.
them was homosexuals. Clark Gable.
Yeah, Rock Hudson. Right.
Mark Hudson, Steve McQueen,
mm-hmm.
John Wayne,
mm-hmm.
all these tough guys.
Right.
And
yeah.
We see that in ancient times, that vibe hit the Benjamites to the point where it's almost telling the same story as what Lot went through. They banging on your man's door, the Levite, who wasn't a freaking priest. Somebody
right.
made him a priest. The woman that he had, he played the harlot.
Right.
I didn't know that you could kill somebody through sex, but that story shows they really,
yes.
really abused her to the degree that she died. She made
yeah.
her way back to the house, but she died. But anything
right.
in excess, anything in excess, is gonna kill you.
Yeah, they
sex in excess, it killed her.
Huh. Yeah, I mean they sexual abuse. You can kill a woman through sexual activities, man.
And the fact that the rest of the tribe of Benjamin stood up for them, and the
mm-hmm.
wickedness that they did, that they didn't turn them over to their brothers from the other tribes,
mm-hmm.
that they stood up for that wickedness, it caused a civil war in the nation to the degree that they almost got wiped out.
Exactly. But only through the Most High's intervention that they didn't get wiped out, okay?
But the Most High left us up to our own devices.
Right.
Every man thought that they would do what was right in their own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And it led to chaos. Leaning on your own understanding leads to chaos.
Exactly.
And that's what we're reading about now. Because they complained that there's no king in Israel, but you ain't supposed to be doing the things that y'all doing.
Exactly. King or not. Okay?
Right.
Okay, Cartrell, our fellow students. Chapter 20, we'll continue on. Thereupon, all the Israelites from Dan Beersheba, from the land of Gilead, marched forth. The community assembled to a man before the Elohim at Mizpah. All the leaders of the people and all the tribes of Israel presented themselves in the assembly of Yah's people. 5,000 fighting men on foot.
So what does that tell you? That tells you that when there's something wrong in one part of the nation, everybody must address it.
Right. Well, something that's bad that needs to be extricated, Cartrell. It's like cancer. If you let it stay, it kills the whole body. So you got to extract it, you know.
And that cancer was beyond the borders of Benjamin.
Exactly.
Which is, as we read, we're going to see, brother fighting brother, it's not a good thing.
No, it's not. The Benjamites heard that the Israelites had come up to Mizpah. The Israelites said, tell us. Tell us what happened. How did this evil thing happen? And a Levite, the husband of the murdered woman, replied, my concubine and I came to Gebet of Benjamin to spend the night. The citizens of Gebet set out to harm me. They gathered against me around the house in the night. They meant to kill me. And they ravaged my concubine. No, they meant to take your booty, man. Okay? And
he
they ravaged.
The story, didn't he?
Yeah. He tried to, like, they just came to kill him. No, man. They came to get up with you, man.
and they would have killed him if they had raped him.
Yeah, they would have raped him and killed him. But he left out one vital part. He should have told the whole story. Well, they meant to get sexual with me, man. And I ain't down with that. Then, you know, they won't kill me. I suspect that they did the dude to me.
But, and he went to that city in order to get safety because they was his people. He didn't want to go to Djibouti because he knew his foreigners were in there.
Right.
And he was expecting what had happened to him with his brothers, what had happened, what would happen if he had went to Djibouti.
Exactly, but maybe because of him, he did better staying in Djibouti.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us, how does he? And the Levite husband of the murdered woman replied, "My concubine and I came to Geba of Benjamin to spend the night. The citizens of Geba set out to harm me. They gathered against me around the house in the night. They meant to kill me. And they ravished, they raped my concubine until she died. So I took hold of my concubine, I cut her in pieces, and sent them to every part of Israel's territory, to every tribe. For an outrageous act of depravity has been committed in Israel. Now you are all Israelites. Now produce a plan of action here. Now I need to know what y'all gonna do about this. Give me an action plan." Then all the people rose as one man and declared, "We will not go back to our home. We will not in our houses. But this is what we will do to Geba. We will wage war against it according to lot. We will take from all the tribes of Israel 10 men to the 100, 100 to the 1,000, 1,000 to 10,000 to supply provisions for troops, to prepare."
So, are they leaning on their own understanding or are they leaning on the counsel of Yah?
They didn't talk to Yah.
Okay.
So they're directing the order in their own steps.
All right.
"To prepare for going to Geba and Benjamin for all the outrage it has committed in Israel. So all the men of Israel united as one man, massed against the town. And the 12 tribes of Israel sent men through the whole tribe of Benjamin saying, 'What is this evil thing that has happened among you? Come, hand over those scoundrels and Geba so that we may put them to death and stamp out the evil from Israel.' But the Benjamites would not yield in the demand of their fellow Israelites. So the Benjamites gathered from their towns together in order
to..." So the Israelites that went against Benjamin didn't tell the Benjamites what thus saith Yah.
No.
They came to their own conclusion, right?
Exactly.
As to what to do without the counsel of Yah, right?
Exactly.
All right.
"On the day that the Benjamites mustered from towns 26,000 fighting men, mustered apart from the inhabitants of Geba, 700 picked men of all this force, 700 picked men were left-handed. Every one of them could sling a stone at a hair and not miss it."
So Yom Suf.
Uh-huh.
You an athlete.
Yes.
Is it harder to deal with right-handed people or left-handed people?
Left-handed is much harder because your maneuvers have to be quite different. I mean, if you used to fight dealing with right-handed people, well, your maneuvers will be different. And so when you got left-handed, you don't know which way to move.
That's
because
right.
Because you're used to your attack or your defense coming from the right hand.
Uh-huh.
But when you count it over to the left hand, man, you totally, it totally put you into, and if you didn't train for it, you're totally confused.
That's right. And you see that in boxing, right?
Just like boxing.
Mm-hmm.
"The men of Israel, other than the men of Israel, other than the Benjamites, mustered 400,000 fighting men, warriors to a man. They proceeded to Bethel and inquired."
What was the odds?
I said it again.
I said, what was the odds?
40 to 26,000? Overwhelming. But then right then, and then they inquired of Yah.
Okay.
Okay, they inquired of Yah. The Israelites asked, "Who of us shall advance first to fight the Benjamites?" And Yah replied, Yehuda first. Let them go take that first ass. I mean, I'm sorry, y'all. Because y'all should have came to me first quarter, not halftime. And Yah replied, Yehuda first. So Israel.
So let's look at the dynamics of this.
Uh-huh.
Everybody know Yehuda is the royal seed, right? The royal tribe.
Right. Which is right next to him.
Huh?
Which is right next to him. Their territory is right next to him.
And who is Benjamin? What is he? What does he represent?
The Benjamins, he's
that's
from
the baby tribe.
Yeah,
the
baby
last tribe.
Yeah, baby tribe.
Yeah.
Go
the baby tribe.
Go with
number
the baby
12.
Tribe.
So, number 12.
So go with them babies. So the men, okay. And it said, Yah said, replied, Yehuda first. So the Israelite rose in the morning and camped at Gelbah. Israel took the field against the Benjamites. The men of Israel drew up in battle and ordered against them in Gelbah. But the Benjamite is from Gelbah. That day they struck down 22,000 of Israel.
Baby brother ain't no joke, is he?
Yeah, he doesn't solve, man, because he's switching and swatching, okay? Got the fellas watching. Hey, look, now, the army, the men of Israel rallied again and drew up in battle order at the same day as they had on the first. But the Israelites had gone up and wept before Yah until evening. They had inquired of Yah, shall we again join battle with our kinsmen, the Benjamites? And Yah replied, march against them again. The Israelites advanced on the Benjamites on the second day. But the Benjamites came out of Gelbah against them on the second day and struck down 18,000 more of the Israelites, all of them fighting men. Then all the Israelites, all the army went up and came to Bethel, and they sat there weeping before Yah. They fasted that day until evening and prescribed burnt offering and offering a way of being to Yah, which they
okay.
should have done, which they should have did first. Okay?
Protocols.
Okay? This is what they should have did first, you know, not after the fact, but before the fact, or not doing the fact. This is the first thing you should do before you do anything. Okay? The Israelites acquired of Yah for the ark of Yah's covenant was there in those days. And Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, ministered before him in those days.
So when they say Phinehas, son of Eleazar, was there in those days, we see that the book of Judges is not in chronological order. Because
mm-hmm.
when Gideon came along, it was 300 years later.
Right.
So now we're back in the time of the son of Eleazar, Pinchas. So it couldn't have been 300 years.
Right.
So we're talking about a time period right after Eleazar may have died, Moses might have died, Joshua might have died.
Mm-hmm.
That time when Pinchas was still on the scene. And he's the elder during this time.
Yeah.
We're talking about 300 years.
Yeah, this was sort of early on. Before the 300 years that expired. It was early on.
So we let you know the book of Judges is not in chronological order.
Well, if you don't know, you should have some common sense to know, Cartrell. Shall we again take the field against our kinsmen, the Benjamites? Or shall we, and that's why studies are essential, Cartrell.
Uh-huh.
Or shall we not? The Elohim answered, go up for the morrow. I will deliver them into your hands. You should have came to me first quarter. Israel put men in ambush against Gelbah on all sides. On the third day, the Israelites went up against the Benjamites as before and engaged them in battle at Gelbah. The Benjamites dashed out to meet the army and were drawn away from the town onto the road on which one runs to Bethel and the others to Gelbah. As before, they started out by striking some of the men dead in the open field, about 30 men of Israel. Oh, they started out how like they did the first 2 days. And they thought, the Benjamites thought, They have been routed before us as previously. But Israel had a plan. They had Yah, first quarter. We would take the flight and draw them away from the town to the road, while the main body of Israelites moved away from their position and had drawn up in battle by Hamar. The Israelite ambush was rushing out from his position at Marakabah. Thus, 10,000 picked men of Israel, mighty men, came to a point south of Gilboa, and the battle was furious. Before they realized that disaster was approaching, Yah routed the Benjamites before Israel. That day, the Israelites slew 25,100 men of Benjamin, all of them fighting men. When the Benjamites realized they were routed, now Israel had yielded ground to the Israelites, for they relied on the ambush which they had laid against Geba. One ambush quickly deployed against Geba, and the other ambush advanced and put the whole town to the sword. Man, the third time had been agreed by the Israelites, man, with those in ambush. When a huge column of smoke was sent up from the town, the Israelites' men were turned about in battle. Benjamin had begun by striking dead about 30 Israelite men, and they thought they had been routed before us as in the previous fight. But when the column of pillar smoke began to rise from the city, the Benjamites looked behind them, and there was a whole town going up in smoke to the sky. And now Israel turned about, and the men of Benjamin was thrown into panic, realized the disaster had overtaken them. They retreated before the men of Israel along the road to the wilderness, where the fighting caught up with them. Meanwhile, those from the towns were massacring them in it. They encircled the Benjamites, pursued them, trotted them down from Manuha to a point opposite Gabba on the east. That day, 18,000 men of Benjamin fell, all of them brave men. They turned and fled to the wilderness, to the rock of Rimmon. But the Israelites picked off another 5,000 on the roads and continued in hot pursuit of them to Gilom. They slew 2,000 more. Thus the total number of Benjamites who fell that day came to 25,000 fighting men, all of them brave. But 600 men turned and fled to the wilderness, to the rock of Rimmon. They remained at the rock of Rimmon 4 months. The men of Israel, meanwhile, turned back to the rest of the Benjamites and put them to the sword. Towns, people, cattle, everything that remained. Finally, they set fire to all the towns that were left. Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee. I tell you what, Contrail. Benjamite was nothing to play with. And neither were the other tribes nothing to play with. But the thing is, they should have went to Yah first quarter and not trying to go to Yah after the fact. And they wouldn't have ran into the problem they had with the first two failures. So what say you, Contrail?
To me, it looks like the whole nation was off track.
Wouldn't it, though?
Because he almost wiped out the whole tribe of Benjamin, mm-hmm, had not those 600 escaped.
Yeah. If those 600 had escaped into the wilderness, it would have been 11 tribes.
11 tribes. Right.
So when they came back, after routing them and running the 600 off into the woods, they went into hiding. They went back to those towns, man. They barred none. They spared none.
And our enemies read our history, mm-hmm, and they know that when they turn us against each other, that's the best strategy, right?
Exactly.
But you know, my little old Benjamin he inflicted major damage on the rest of the nation, didn't he?
Sure did, Cartrell. Okay. That little bit of drive by itself held a whole nation in there.
Matter of fact, they had to go back and go to Yah. Like, what are we going to do with Benjamin? Because they busted our chops up.
Cartrell, they went back crying.
Yeah. No big Benjamin.
Man, that boy beat the brakes off.
Imagine your little brother beating you up and you crying to mama and daddy.
They ain't going to cry. Yeah. They told you, you see the tribe of Yehuda out there. They got whooped up. They tried to go back again. Come on, now.
But
let's do
it made back. Us realize why the other nations are afraid of us.
That's what I'm saying.
No, one tribe can bust the whole nation down. How
right.
about the tribe of Dan? They had to send what? How many dudes after one man in the tribe of Dan? They sent like 3,000 Israelites after Samson? One
no.
tribe.
You can, yeah, you know what? I think it was a tribe of Yehuda. Remember, Samson had came on Yehuda's land, and he was hiding. So I think okay, go ahead.
You sending 3,000 men after one man
right.
from the tribe of Dan.
Oh, yeah. we ain't nothing to play with.
The tribe of Israel wasn't nothing to play with because nobody was attacking Dan. You got to send 3,000 men for one man in Dan.
Right.
Samson. So now we see the Benjamites. They got the 700 that's left-handed, and they taking brothers out. Y'all want to come against us? You got 700 lessons that's not going to knock y'all out.
Cartrell, what we're learning here, Cartrell, too, since a lot of us don't know what tribe we're from, we try to say all of us Yehuda or whatnot. Whatever tribe you was from, it didn't make no never mind.
No, it didn't.
Man, you from either one of those tribes, you wasn't nothing to play with, okay?
And I'm watching the NBA, right?
No.
And the left-handed dudes that shoot in the NBA,
bro,
you can't stop them.
You can't stop them. Because, see, the way you used to defending, Cartrell, if I'm in the NBA, I'm used to defending against right-hand dribble.
That's
no,
right.
Because he got dribbling left. My moves ain't designed for him.
And his strength is in his left hand, not
right.
the right hand. And you defending his right hand, but he's killing you with his left.
Yeah, because my strength ain't in my left. So
right.
he moved me out of the way like I'm winning. And I'm going to tell you, those guys, if you can sling a stone and hit a piece of hair, man, you good.
And okay? not miss? And not
and
miss?
Not, and man, and look here, Cartrell, rock slingers, that was just like a bullet, man.
We talk about how much we admire King David. But
right.
King David was admiring these left-handed Benjamites.
Sure would.
Yep.
But I'm going to tell you one thing, Cadrill. And he's starting, y'all know what tribe you're from. And if you're an Israelite, you should be honored to be in either one of those tribes that's following Yah. Okay?
Oh, yeah. And I look at the left-handed brothers, they got skills. I'm like, yo, you probably Benjamin.
Right.
Left-handed, because they know for their prowess of being left-handed assassins.
But check this out, Cartrell. Check this out. And the reason why I pointed this out to the students is this. Do you know the power of a stone in a sling? Man, that's bone breaking. That's
I ain't bad. Trying to find out. That's for sure.
I'm gonna tell you what.
I ain't no test dummy.
Imagine David and Goliath. I think I said it all. Okay. When I make that statement, imagine David and Goliath. Okay. And this fellow, a huge fellow, and these guys are average like me, and I'm slinging stones at them. And man, come on, man. And I ain't got to get up on you. And I ain't going, and I'm aiming for your head. If you try to throw
have
your
you,
arm,
have you
got
have you ever been hit in the face with a rock between your eyes.
That's a stunner, man.
What? That's going on.
I would hit it in half. And I would hit, I think it was a clod of dirt. And it crushed my eye socket. And let me tell you how that incident occurred. We had just moved into the neighborhood that my mother lived in now, and that was in 1965. I was 9 years old. My dad said, take my brothers to the park. I'm the oldest. Well, I got to look after my brothers. Okay, we go to the park. These people don't know me from Adam. You know, these people didn't know who I was. Who these kids? All these children, you know, five or six little brothers, you know, they three, four, and I'm about 9 years old. And so they attacked it. I told my brother, run up on that hill right there. And I got in front of them, you know. And I guess they figured, this guy, he going to fight us all. So I had my brothers on top of the hill, and I was like at the bottom of the hill, or in the middle. And I was in front of them. So they threw a clod of dirt and hit me in that eye. And so I had to end up, I couldn't see for a while, and I ended up wearing glasses, dark glasses, because it messed that eye up for a while. But here's what they didn't know about me, Cottrell. I'm going to come get you. And they found out that Yum Soup don't play. One thing they faced is that locked in my mind. And when Yum Soup healed up, Yum Soup went on war. Yum Soup called him one by one. I said, you remember me? So after that incident, I think that was several months later after that, I had no problem in the neighborhood. They Yum Soup, that guy, man, he crazy. He going to get you. He going to catch you by yourself, and he going to beat the brakes off you. So we had no more problem after that. So, but be that in the make, I tell you, I know how it is to be hit. And this dirt cloud had rocks and everything. And I know how it is to be hit, okay?
In martial arts, in the V-75 that we learned, it don't matter how big you are. Everybody got the same body parts, right?
Right.
So if I step on your big toe, what's going to happen to you?
If you step
on
my big toe,
chin, huh?
If you step on my big toe, if you did it, now if you did it deliberately, I'm a counterpuncher.
Expecting me to step on your big toe on your foot or to kick you in your shin or your knee. That's called shocking. Because I don't care how big you are.
Yeah.
If I kick you in your shin, if you should kill O'Neal and I kick you in your freaking shin, you're going to bend down because of the immediate pain that you're going to feel when I kick you in your shin. Because that's just your anatomy. I don't care what kind of man you are. Everybody got a shin. And there's no guard for your shin. So when I kick you in your shin, I know you're going to feel it immediately. I don't care how big you are, that's why you say, the bigger you are, the harder you fall. If I kick you in your knee, kick you in your shin, and if I step with all my might on your big freaking toe, or your little toe, or any part of your foot, you're going to feel that right away.
Exactly.
And they call that shock. They call that shock. I'm not as strong as you, but I can shock you.
Right.
Because there's vulnerable parts in your body, like your throat, like your eyes. If I poke you in your eye, that's a shock.
Right.
If I punch my fist up into your nose straight up to put in your brain, that's a shock. If I hit you in your throat, that's a shock. If I kick you in your knee, your shin, or step as hard as I can in your toe, pow, that's a shock.
Right.
And you bending down to like deal with that pain that I just put you through.
Mm-hmm.
And when you bend down, now you my size.
Exactly.
Now you my size.
Exactly.
I kick you in the chin. And I push your knee back to where it's hyperextended. If I thrust my leg into your knee with all my might, you're not walking nowhere home. You're not walking home.
No.
You expect me to try to punch you? No. I'm going for the shock.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't expecting a shock. I'm going to hit that little toe, pow, because you're going to feel me stepping on your little toe immediately. Yeah, so there's things in martial arts called shock. You have to know where the shock zones are. And when King David hit Goliath in the head with that rock, he was in shock.
Yeah.
Knocked him down. Boom. It ain't kill him. Boom. When he hit him with that rock, he was seeing the other side of the universe.
Okay.
Then he took his head off.
You think that's where that song come from, Katya? Rocksteady, baby. You know that song, Rocksteady, baby? You think that's where that song came from, Rocksteady?
Nah, I don't think that's where that song came from. But I do know that Sugar Ray talked about Queer Street. When somebody like Mike Tyson hit you upside your head, and he connect, then you be on Queer Street. You be seeing stars, moons, suns, galaxies, and other universes.
Yeah, I've been in a situation like that, Cartier. I've seen shoot stars and whipping pippin, flying muscles.
I've never got hit that hard to where I'm seeing the other side of the universe.
I've seen a little bird be going by.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Birds tweeting and singing.
Yeah, I've seen them.
It's not a pleasant place to be, is it?
No, it's not, Cartier.
There's something called shock.
I was like that old woman. Got my phone, I can't get up.
So, I mean, basics in martial arts. Somebody grab you from behind, you look at their feet and stomp it. Pow! They're going to let you go immediately.
Exactly.
Especially if you got heels. Because they're not expecting you to step on a foot. You know how it hurts when somebody step on your foot? Oh, my
God. Right. Because they're going to have to grab their foot.
Oh, yeah. And now it's your side.
Right.
And you ever get kicked in the shin? Because the shin ain't too far from the foot. Foot, shin, and knee. That's the shock zone. And the big person, I don't care if they Shaquille O'Neal size or 7'8". The bigger they are, the bigger the shin is, the bigger the foot is. They got big feet. Big men got big feet.
Yeah, they got size
14 and 20. Foot and got muscle on it, do it.
Yeah, they got size 20 shoes.
And you see basketball players, they go down because their feet hurt. Or they hurt their foot.
Right.
That's the vulnerable part. You got another vulnerable part. I don't care how big you are. You could be Shaquille O'Neal, 350 pounds. You got muscles coming out your ears. But if I kick you in your shin and step on your toe, brother, I'm going to bring you down to my size.
Exactly.
If you can get it in. They quick athletes, son.
Yeah.
You got to know what you're doing.
Exactly.
But, I mean, if you in a situation, somebody grab you from behind, look at the feet, and shock them, at least it'll give you a chance to get away. They're going to grab that toe that you stepped on, and you can run.
Well, Dr. L, if you're done with your commentaries on Benjamites, we'll take our last study session, because we digressed for a minute. We'll take our last study session from you in the Book of Proverbs.
All right. Because we always need a boost from King Solomon, because even in ancient times, our people was off. The tribe of Benjamin doing what they were doing.
Crazy. We certainly can see that in this last study. Completely off.
So we in the Book of Proverbs, chapter 21.
Exactly. Bingo.
Yes, yes. So we always learn the words of a king are very important. And we give thanks to the Most High that he gave wisdom to our King, King Solomon. As much criticism as he gets for having so many wives, he did in fact benefit us by sharing his wisdom with us. So we give praise to Yah that he was able to do that.
Before you get started, brother, I want to share with the fellow students. Tomorrow, when we close that, the book of Shofins, we're only going to have one chapter that we're going to read on. I'm going to hand it on out to I don't want to mess up the storyline. So when I move from the next book come Monday, I want it to be that book. I don't want to be a mixture of two, okay? Thank you, Cartrell.
And I know you want to go into the book of Samuel.
Man, you know, you already know, brother. Yeah. Hey,
and I know you want to do that because we already read Ruth.
Yeah. Cartrell, Abigail sent me, I apologize, Abigail sent me a notation. She says you're on 2022. I thought it was 21. Abigail, you sure you ain't off? Is this one of your first off day? Let me look.
No, she's right.
All right. I'm sorry, Abigail. Cartrell is wrong. He led me wrong. I'll put it on Cartrell. We both.
Yes, on me. I think that way.
Okay.
But yeah.
And
I was focusing on.
Sorry, Abigail. Go ahead, Cartrell.
We read the book of Ruth already.
Mm-hmm.
But she is right in the midst of the period that we're reading about with the judges. How we had to deal with the Midianites and Amorites before we acquired a king.
Right.
And, yeah, she's chronologically in line with the book of Judges.
Right.
And we remember, you know, her story, but we haven't read the book of Samuel. So
no, we
jump right into the book of Samuel. He's the next judge that was in line after these Israelites went off with the tribe of Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
We needed direction and guidance.
Right.
After that.
And even if he said, Cartrell, getting ahead of the story, even just because you got a good judge, you know, even his boys wasn't right.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, even his.
Yeah,
I know I'm getting ahead of the story a little bit, but just because you do right don't mean all the folks around you going to do right, okay? All right, Cartrell.
And that's the story of our history.
Ain't it,
that's why we had a civil war. You got 11 tribes going to war with Benjamin. What y'all doing, Benjamin? What wickedness have y'all done? And
because by the looks of it, I don't think Benjamin tried that anymore. Because they stayed tight with Yehuda after that. They were tight with Yehuda. They stayed up under Yehuda, the tribe of Yehuda, you know. Real, real close, you know. And
but that was a lesson for the whole nation.
Yeah.
I mean, it showed that every tribe got strength and power, whether they're wrong or right.
Right.
And we have to work it out with each other before we kill each other and eliminate each other.
Well, you know what? But look here, think, before we go, if tribe of Yehuda went up first against them, they went up first against the Benjamites.
And got smacked down.
Yeah, even that being said, they worked it out. Because they worked it out so close that when the other tribes were lost and dispersed by Yah, the Benjamites and the Yehudites were still together. They were still tight. So obviously, they worked it out. Okay?
And Yamsuf, you's older than me, right?
Am I older than you?
I say you as old as me, right?
Yeah, no, you older than me, elder.
So back in the days when we had fights, the dude you was fighting became your best friend.
Yep, most often.
And people today, when we say that, don't understand that.
Yeah.
But when I was living in Harlem and I had a fight with this dude named Leroy.
Right.
Leroy became one of my best friends.
Did he?
He chasing my sister with a dog up and down the block on his bike. Me and my brother had to deal with him. Like, yo, what the F you doing, yo? You can't mess with my sister like that. And we came to confrontations, and you wound up being friends. But it shows that back in ancient times, all the tribes were strong. Even though Benjamin was wrong, he was strong and he was wrong. He was slaying Israelites, trying to make them right. But they wasn't right themselves because they didn't really approach Yah the way they should have.
First quarter.
After the third time, they knew that they had to really be serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
And being serious about it means we have to really appeal to Yah. It's not about us and get a victory over our brother. We need to fast and pray over the situation because we don't want to eliminate and annihilate our brother. We just want to get him right.
And you got to always do it the right way. There's a right way and a wrong way to do anything. All right, Cartrell. All right, fellow students. We're going to move along, and thanks to Cartrell, we're going to get another perspective, another dose of wisdom and needed understanding.
From the wisest man that ever lived, King Solomon.
Amen.
King.
Amen.
Yes, sir. All praise to Yah.
All praises.
King Solomon says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So Trump is rich, but would you want to be Donald Trump?
Hell no.
Okay, so even as rich as you want to be him, you wouldn't want to be him because of who he is. The rich and poor meet together. Yah is the maker of them all. So Yah can make you rich or poor. Rich or poor. And after you rich or you poor, it's your choice. In your riches, are you going to remember Yah? In your poverty, are you going to remember Yah? It's on you. In your riches, are you going to forget Yah and think that it's about you? Or in your poverty, are you going to forget about Yah and think that Yah has abandoned you in your poverty? No, Yah hasn't abandoned you in your poverty. It's like he didn't abandon Job, right? He took everything Job had and never abandoned Job, ever. He says, a prudent man.
But you know what Job's attitude was? Quite unlike Al. I don't care what Yah did to me. I ain't gonna let go. I'm going to hold on. Yeah.
Because the greatest thing that you have from Yah is what? The life he gave you.
Exactly.
Do you know how many sperm cells was trying to get to that egg and you made it?
Mm-hmm.
Let science tell you. Because there was billions of eggs billions of sperm cells that was trying to make it to that egg.
Mm-hmm.
And you made it. And the fact that you made it, you are enjoying Yah's creation, the breath of life, the vision, the hearing, the being able to live. That's the gift from Yah, that you made it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
So that's really all you need. Because from there, there's no other way but up.
Mm-hmm.
You got to receive the blessings and the bounty which life brings. It says, prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So you can, if you're wise and you have knowledge and understanding and wisdom, you have the ability to foresee things before they happen. Because you can tell if a person is planting this seed, this is going to be the result of it. So when you see things happening and you know that there's going to be a bad result, you are able to take yourself out of that situation. But if you have no calculation, you have no foresight, you're just going to be walking about your way and you're going to fall right into it. It says, by humility and the fear of Yah are riches and honor and life. And we want our riches and our honor to come from Yah. But we have to have humility and we have to fear Yah. The world we're living in now is being controlled by the wicked. And the Most High is going to judge them for the things they do and for how they have used their power in a perverse way to destroy his creation. It says, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. So it's a spiritual battle. And there are snares and there are thorns. They want you to be LGBTQ, and those are snares and thorns. And if you fall into that path, you're not preserving your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yah is judging. You're acting.
Exactly.
Evil in order to preserve your soul. Train up a child in the way he should go, which is every parent's responsibility, mother and father. Train up your child in the way he should go. Don't leave it into the hands of other people, tutors and teachers and educational system. You have to train your child in the way he should go. And guess what? When he is old, he will not depart from it, no matter what he hears from anybody else. Because he's your child, or she's your child, because they heard it from their parents, that's the way they're going to walk. So your impact on your child has to be more than the teachers that you send them to. Riches rule over the poor, and that's the American situation. We have a class situation. Super rich, rich, middle class, and poor. And guess who rules? The super rich. And the borrower is the servant of the lender. And how many of us are in debt with our credit cards and our student loans and our rent and our mortgages? Yeah, you're a servant to the lender. If you think you're free, if you're in debt, you're a servant to the lender.
Exactly.
And that's how they see it. You will always be in debt in American society because that is how it is designed. You're in debt from birth. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. So, yeah, we live amongst people that do iniquity, and they're trying to reap riches, but they will reap vanity. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. And that's the real secret. We always keep talking about it and reiterating, it's better to give than receive. The people that give always seem to have something to give. And the people that's always looking to get something always seem to be begging for something. So you have to change the dynamics around. You have to learn how to give.
Exactly.
Not just, you know, because you want to receive, but it's just a science. If you have it and people need it and you don't need it, give, especially if you see somebody that really needs it. The poor is always amongst us, and you have to help them. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. What you call them on Facebook, Fool's Paradise?
Yeah, Fool's Paradise.
Yeah, that's casting out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Do we need to be at odds with each other, or do we need to be coming through a oneness? But our people promote strife and division and contention and debate and argument, right?
Exactly.
And that is a reproach. But we got to stop that. He that loveth pureness of heart. Do you love pureness of heart, a pure heart, or the deceitful heart? We love people that have pure hearts, hearts of gold. There's no better people on the planet than people that have pure hearts.
Mm-hmm.
For the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Yeah, a person with a pure golden heart, person that gives, that person that loves, that person that has compassion and mercy, consideration, of course, he's going to be brought before great people. The eyes of Yah preserves knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of transgressors. So Yah is watching everything you say, everything you do, what you say out your mouth, it's all on record. The lazy man, the slothful man says, there's a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. And that's our fears. We don't want to try nothing. We don't want to attempt nothing. We don't want to think outside the box. There's so much opportunity in America. They call it the land of opportunity, right? But we're looking for a job. And the people that excel are the immigrants that create jobs. They start their own businesses and employ people, whether it be a restaurant or whatever. They come here and they don't look for jobs. They set up businesses for themselves. But we are so lazy, we look to go to school, get a job, get an education, get a job. No, we must build foundations for our own people. We must have our own little Israel or Israel town, like Chinatown or Little Italy. People that come here, they're not lazy. They establish businesses for themselves to employ their own people to enrich themselves. And we take the lazy way out because we don't want to do the work, the due diligence. We don't want to put in the time to create for ourselves. And as a result, we wind up in poor communities. I just have to say that.
Mm-hmm.
It says, the slothful man says, there's a line without. That's our fears. We don't want to try nothing. We don't want to think outside the box because we are fearful. And there's no lying without. Talking about we're going to be slain in the streets. No, if I try that, it's going to kill me. No, try it. Think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you keep doing the same thing you've been doing over and over again and it don't work, they call that insanity. It says the mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. And America is a strange woman. They talk about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and we go for it. Her mouth is strange. And the Native Americans told us, these people speak with a forked tongue. And her speaking with a forked tongue is a deep pit for us because we're trapped in the pit trying to be black voters and Democrats and Republicans and independent, making America stand up for what they say. But America is a strange woman, and she's a deep pit. He that is abhorred of Yah shall fall therein. And how many of our people are falling with the into the trap of the American dream? Because America is the daughter of Babylon, Babylon's daughter, the strange woman. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Yeah, children do silly, stupid things. But you have to set them on the right path with counsel and guidance because they don't know what to do or what to say, what to think, or what path to be on. You watch a child. They put all kind of stuff in their mouth. They tamper with stuff they shouldn't be tampered with. And you have to correct them. And if you don't, it's going to hurt them. He that oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. And that's America. Donald Trump, he cut taxes for the rich, gave them more money than they needed. They're already billionaires and millionaires and trillionaires. And they oppress us. They didn't give us a stimulus package financially, but they want to shoot us up with those vaccines. Oh, we first in line. We're the most vulnerable. We got to take care of y'all first. No, take care of us financially first. Because 400 years we made y'all rich, and y'all ain't do nothing for us. But now you want to take care of our health. No, take care of our financial first, and we'll take care of our own health by eating and growing our own food and taking care of our own immune system by the things that we should be eating. It says, he that oppresses the poor to increase his riches, which is America, and he that giveth to the rich, he shall surely come to want. We see that with Donald Trump. He's going to get out of that prison after they get him for all his corruption. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. That's what we're doing when we read King Solomon. And apply thy heart unto my knowledge. And that's what we're trying to do with King Solomon. Apply our hearts and our ear to the wisdom that he's dispensing here so that we may walk the right path in the Most High's eyes. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. They shall with all be fitted in thy lips. So what you learn, you must speak. The more you learn what King Solomon is teaching us in regards to wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, it should be on your mind all the time. And if it's on your mind, it's going to come out your mouth. They that trust may be in Yah, that thy trust may be in Yah. That's the ultimate goal. How many of us trust Yah? How many of us really know Yah in order to trust in him? Because in order to trust in him, you must know him. If you say you trust him and you don't know him, then you're lying. You have to find out who Yah is. And when you find out who he is, you will have extreme trust in Yah. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee, have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge. So yes, Yah has left his record, his word on record, by what we're reading here. They call it the Old Testament. Yes, Yah has written excellent things. And in the things that he's left written is excellent counsel and knowledge that we should be using. That I may make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. Yes, that's why we're reading what we're reading. We're examining what we're examining. We're diligently seeking Yah's word because of a certainty he left it behind for us to find out. That thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. So yeah, we know the words of truth. In the midst of all the lies we've been told, Yah's truth endures forever. Rob not the poor because he is poor. And we know the American experience. They take half your check before you even see it. 400 years of free labor. And most are saying that's wrong. Rob not the poor because he's poor. Neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. And we've been oppressed in the gate every day for all the years we've been here. For Yah will plead their cause. Yeah, Yah's saying what's going on with us. And guess what? He says Yah will plead our cause. Because we've been robbed as poor people and oppressed and afflicted in the gate. And spoil the soul of those that spoil them. So we ain't got to worry about the people that's in power, power now. Because Yah will overthrow them and spoil them. Make no friendship with an angry man. That's a command. Don't be friends with people who are angry, quick to anger, incite violence. And that's exciting. People love angry people. That seems to inspire people. But no, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, thou shalt not go. Gotta leave them people alone. Because you following angry people, an angry crowd, an angry mob, it's going to get you in trouble.
Since
I learned his ways. Huh?
Real big trouble.
And if that's the way you want to learn, he said, you learn his ways, and it becomes a snare to your soul. You're not supposed to walk around with that anger. We see the European man walks around with that anger for no reason. Who he angry with? Why you want to kill us? You angry with us? What do we do to you? Do we take you from Europe and do what you did to us? No. Our people didn't do to the Europeans what they did to us. It's not even close.
Nope.
Not even close. Why are you angry with us after what you've done to us? Y'all used to cut pregnant women open and smash babies' heads on rocks. Why would you do that? What would, you know, compel people to cut pregnant women open, take the baby out, and smash the baby's head into a rock?
Cruelty.
Yeah. So, unless you learn his ways, and it'd be a snare to your soul. We don't want to be like them. We don't want to be hateful. We don't want to be angry. We want to be humble. We want to have peace within us.
Exactly.
Be not thou one of them that strikes hands, or of them that are sureties with debt. And how many of us got credit cards, which makes us surety for debt? Once you're in debt, you're a slave. You know that, right? So they tell you build up your credit score, get all these credit cards, you charge and stuff, and you don't have the ability to pay. And guess what? There's interest on those credit cards, which makes sure that you can't pay them back. And you become
ain't
a surety, right?
Not free. Ain't nothing like free.
There's nothing like for free. And don't put yourself in debt to where you surety for somebody. Because then they control you. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Because if you owe them, that's what they're going to do, right? Take all your possessions. Evict you. Because you owe.
For sure.
How many of our people go through that cycle? Because we're in debt.
Mm-hmm.
It says remove not the ancient landmarks, which they've done, right? Which thy fathers have set. That's why we don't know what country, what land we come from, because these ancient landmarks have been moved. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? And how many men should be diligent in their business?
Every man.
Every man should be diligent in his own business. He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. So we should all be diligent about what? Our own business. Unfortunately, not many of us could say that because we're handling or trying to be in somebody else's business.
That's the problem.
We're not minding our own business. But some deep stuff, man. King Solomon, his wisdom gives us common sense. And it gives us vision. And it gives us direction. And it really gives us the way that we should be walking. In our lives, the gift that Yah gave us to walk in his path, seeking righteousness, the good way, the righteous way, the upright way, and not turning toward our perversions or our impulses or the path that leads us to destruction.
Exactly. All right. We're out, Cartier. If you don't have any more commentaries, because you did commentary throughout the lesson, we're going to move on out of here. Listeners, we pray that this lessons that Contrary on Live presented to you be of some assistance and help for you. Be the light to your feet, the comfort, the rock that you run to. It be the wings that you hide beneath. That it be the buckler you hide behind and the strong tower you run to. We pray that these words be that to you because they are that to you. If you understand that, the bird's eye view that we give of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and our kings that were influenced by him, our people that were influenced by him and are not influenced by him, and the outcome. Well, here's what Cottrell and I do know. As I said, we don't know everything in certainty. Well, we do know this certain thing. You're getting ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People show, a bird's eye perspective of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and how relationships are essential to maintain and build, not only with the founding, with the Almighty, but with one another and strangers, different nations. May the Most High direct and order your steps. May his word be a light to your pathway. As a matter of fact, we suggest that you get a new thinker too. Ask for one just like King Dawood had. You know, the very man that y'all said, he's a man after my own thinking. Yeah, a thinker like that. Because the one you and I got, it ain't working for us. But the one that you can get from y'all, it'll work for you. We love you. May Most High bless you and direct you and order your steps. Shalom and good night.